You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Luke Elder, Tom Morley and Andrew Mount in the studio. We've got two jumps meetings in the afternoon, Market Racing and Wincanton, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapita at Newcastle. And we've also got All Weather Racing on the Poly Track in the evening from Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio... It's Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm very well indeed. Very well indeed. I'm just buoyed with what we had at the weekend at Cheltenham. God, it was fantastic, wasn't it? And by the same token, we had what epitomises of National Hunt Racing's some sad days as well, with Sprinter Sacra at least retiring in one piece, Simon Sig, and one or two other things that would just sours it a little. But the great thing about this National Hunt game is you can't get hardened to it.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
It never, however long you're involved or whatever, it never becomes water off a duck's back, does it? It really does, you know, pull at the heartstrings a lot. And I think certainly Cheltenham had all of that the weekend. Fantastic theatre.
Mm. Nicky Henderson's quite an emotional guy at the best of times, but you could see it really got to him that he had to retire Sprinter Sacra, which is, he puts his heart and soul into it, doesn't he, Nicky?
Oh, yeah. Listen, he wears his heart on his sleeve as well. But when you've got such fabulous horses as that, who are part of your everyday life, what I mean, they're more likely closer to him than his family, if you understand. So I think he's an emotional guy, and what happened to Simon Sig was dreadful as well, but that's part and parcel of the game. Again, we could have had a horrendous incident when that loose horse ran across the front of the gate. That could have been absolute carnage, and fortunately everybody walked away fairly unscathed. So it just shows there's no rules, is there?
No, it's not, is it? Good news for Nicky Henderson, though. He's been talking very positively about Altior going chasing this season, saying that he hopes he can fill the void left by some of his old stable stars. And if he's anywhere near as good over the large obstacles as he was over the hurdles, he's a real exciting prospect, isn't he?
Very exciting. Something to look forward to. Looks like he's going to see him shortly at Kempton. He says he's schooled extremely well and he's exciting. I mean, again, at the end of the day, Nicky Henderson's got a stable full of top-class horses. So he's not going to be found wanting, I don't think. Being seen on the big stages every Saturday.
Big day for Paddy Brennan on Wednesday as well. For me, he got up his 1,000th winner. He's obviously got a big weekend coming up as well, riding Q Card in the Betfair Chase. It's quite an achievement, really, for Paddy Brennan.
Unbelievable achievement. I mean, he's joined a select band of jockeys who have reached that milestone. I think it was Stan Mellor in about the early 70s who landed his first 1,000 winners. And again, to be fair, that was a far bigger feat, riding 1,000 winners in those days than it is now. You know, you never had Sunday racing. You never went all the way through the summer. You never had night racing. You know, it was a completely different ball game. So a wonderful feat by Stan Mellor. But you've got to take your hat off to these boys because, again, you know, the rigours of the job, the rough and tumble of the job does take its toll. But, yeah, a great achievement by him and a sound fella. And, again, there should be a few more winners to come still.
Possibly one on Saturday. Q Card 13-8 at the top of the market is the favourite for the Betfair Chase. Coney Green next in the market at 2-1. Sylvini Arco Conti 7-1. 8-1 Irish Cavalier. CEO at midnight is 8-1 as well. 16's Godzone. 20's Bar Those. I want to mention Coney Green as well, Pimmy. Richard Johnson will come in for the ride in the absence of Nico de Boinville, and he schooled him the other day. He's talking very positively about Coney Green.
Well, yeah, and you know, you can imagine he's really excited about taking the mount on this horse. Again, got to overcome a long absence, but you know, he's a Gold Cup winner. He's still got a lot of time on his side, and again, hopefully he'll strip fit. Coming from a yard like the Bradstocks, I think that must be much harder for them to get him cherry ripe on debut because they haven't got quite the same firepower in the yard to work him with and you know, give him a little bit of a test. And again, with, you know, in the bigger yards, they've got plenty of horses about them, plenty of horses to get a guideline from. That might just be a little bit of an issue regarding Coneygree. As far as Q Card's concerned, you know, the connections put their hands up regarding the tactics at Wetherby. What I couldn't understand is why they used those tactics if, A, they thought the horse was going to benefit from the outing, and, B, that tactic was basically the same as what happened at Cheltenham. Mm. They rushed him into the race and he paid the penalty.
Yeah.
And he rushed into the race at Wetherby and ran out of petrol. So I think they'll possibly ride him a little bit more conservatively at the weekend. And, you know, again, he strips fit and ready to rock and roll. So he's certainly a worthy favourite. Silviano Conti, well, he is what he is. He's possibly getting a little bit wiser now, but he's still a top-class racehorse. And you'd love to see you at midnight run a cracking race for the north of England. He's an 8-1 shot. Brian Hughes at this moment in time can do no wrong. Mm. And, you know, it would be great to see the north have a serious challenger for the big races.
Yeah, would, yeah. See you at midnight, 8-1 in the market there. At this point, do you think Q Card will win? Or, I know you say you want to see you at midnight to win a, run a big race, but if I had to say,
I'd side with Q Card because hopefully they've learned from their experiences. I'm taking the case that Coneygree might just be better for the experience having had an absence. And Silviano Conti, for me, is, you know, been there, done it, got the T-shirt sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. We've got plenty of good racing coming up over the weekend, of course, at Haydock and Ascot. We're going to see Yanworth back out as well and plenty of others. Looking further afield, though, Pimmy, first Saturday of December, we've got racing at Aintree. And we see a Grand National Hero come back as well. Many Clouds set to make his reappearance there. He's had a wind operation. Hopefully we'll see him somewhere back near his best.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they are having trouble with the wind, and obviously that's been the case with him, then if they do work, they can make a remarkable difference to the horse. Obviously, Oliver Sherwood's been very open about this. You know, he's not sort of done it behind people's backs. So we know he's had it. Hopefully it will make a big difference to him, and hopefully it will be able to bring him back to race at some sort of form that he raced at in the past. He's obviously a class individual. But the thing about it is, it don't always work.
No.
And that's the thing. And the proof of the pudding will be in the eating when he runs in that first race at Aintree. So, fingers crossed, it has had the desired effect and he comes back to some sort of form because, again, he's only a young horse in terms of national racing. Mm. There could be a lot more to come from him.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we'll see him. He finished second in that race last year, so he might not necessarily have to win.
No, he doesn't have to win.
Just
he just has
see
to
see his old sparkle.
Yeah, see his old mojo back. Mm.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll leave that there unless there's anything else in your mind, Pimmy. Anything else?
No, I think there's breaking news regarding a new series of races for middle tier northern races where they have to come up to a northern track race, racing a couple of the qualifiers, and then there's a series final in December of next year at Carlisle. So it's all good, very positive. The only thing I'm disappointed is it's open to the whole country.
You want to bar the south?
Yeah, because they'll only come up, they'll plunder, and they'll take back south again.
Yeah,
I can't remember what war it was when the south came up to the north and nicked everything.
Yeah.
But they'll definitely do that again. The series is a great idea, and the context of the idea, so over different distances, there's specialist races for the mares as well. So the whole idea is fantastic without the thing saying Savner's not welcome. And the other great thing about this series is our very own Gail Gibson was on the committee.
Was he?
Say no more.
I'll get the Gibbo involved. So they have to run in a number of races before they qualify for the final, yeah?
Correct. Yeah. So there's a series for 2 mile chasers, 2 mile hurdlers, middle tier. So not your top ones, not your 0-100s. And then there's obviously a series final in December where there'll be good prize money on offer. Going to be run at Carlisle. But like I say, we'll just watch this space on how many northern winners come out the series.
Well, at least the southern trained horses can't just come up for the big day. They have to participate along the way.
Which is fine. I think they have to run in two qualifiers to make the final. So yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Well done, Dale.
Right, we'll leave that there. Let's move on to Thursday's action. Then Pimmy's got four races prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll go through these in time order, starting in the 145 at Wincanton. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over, well, the extended 2 miles, 3 furlongs. It's almost 2.5 miles. We're going to call it 2.5 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got 12 of them to go to post here. Pimmy, which ones have made the shortlist?
Yeah, competitive little handicap hurdle, as you'd imagine. Not very original, I'm afraid, listener. I'm going to take two against the field, and they're both trained by Paul Nichols. Abidjan is an interesting one. He's a six-year-old who fell last time out when he was running left-handed at Fontwell. He tended to jump right on that occasion, and he came to grief at the 12th. But again, to Wincanton tomorrow, going right-handed certainly should suit him. And prior to that, he'd ran really well in defeat. So I definitely think Abidjan is a player. And I also think the other Nichols runner, Brilandas, I think that's how you pronounce it. He's a French bred anyway. Harry Cobden does the steering aboard this one. He was pulled up last time out when we saw him on the heavy ground at Exeter in February. But he was a 15-8 shot. He obviously was a player out there. He possibly ran too bad to be true. And I'd like to think of him being better than that, forgiving him that run. And off a mark of 130, hoping that he could bounce back to some sort of form tomorrow. So competitive, as you'd imagine, for a Class 3 handicap hurdle. But the two Nichols runners for me.
Paul Nichols won the race last year as well with Sam Benedito. So you've got history on your side there, Pimmy. And signing with the two Nichols runners against the field then in the 145. 205 at Market Rasen next. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles. We've got seven of them in the lineup here, including last year's winner, Sky Khan, coming back for another go. But he's been pretty badly out of form, Pimmy. It looks like he's going to have a tough task to retain his title.
Yeah, you definitely think that's going to be the case for Sky Khan. And to be fair, Lucinda Russell hasn't really been firing on all cylinders for a fair while now. So, yeah, you'd say that's a bit of a negative. Oscar Rock, from a yard that can do absolutely no wrong, that of Malcolm Jefferson's. And his pilot, Brian Hughes, had a 5-timer the other day. So, you know, he is absolutely oozing confidence. Obviously, this fella disappointed behind the young master last time out. But he's got form in the book that would give him a chance, despite the burden of 11 stone 12 top weight. As we say, spoke about Sky Khan. Duke Street ran well enough for Dr. Newland last time out when finishing second behind You Never Call at Kempton. That was over 2.5 miles. This 2.5 mile trip should well suit him. Big Chief Benny's the one that's been in cracking form of late. We haven't seen him for 209 days, to be fair, but he was a readied winner at Chepstow over 2.3 miles when he beat Beale and Dendall by a head on that occasion. So certainly he is a player, and the yard's going nicely at this moment in time. Maxi T, absence of 235 days could just deter his chances, although he ran very consistent the last few outings we saw him last year. And Minstrel's Gallery ran well enough the last time we saw him when he was third in a 1.6 mile race at Nottingham. And that was when he was behind Jack Bear. An Eminent Poet. We must know one or two of them, Mark, mustn't we? Well, he ran well enough here, to be fair, behind Mystic Sky when he was only third of four. But I think we can forgive him that little blip. Venetia Williams, the vivacious Venetia. She's not quite got going yet. She's been waiting for the rain. The rain's come. If this one doesn't win tomorrow, Eminent Poet, don't worry. There'll be plenty more winners coming out of the Williams yard in the next 4 to 6 weeks. But pin me down to a selection. Big Chief Benny.
Big Chief Benny then, the selection for Pimmy in the 205 Market Rasen. Moving back to Wincanton for their 250 next. This is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. It's over 2 miles. We've got a field of 9 to go to post here, Pimmy. And I'd like to start with Let the River Run Dry, if we may. It was a very easy winner at Market Rasen in May over hurdles. Looks a chasing type, makes his chase debut here. So interesting to see how he gets on.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's a nice horse. He was 1-2 shot when he beat Bandit Country by 10 lengths last time out. So, you know, he's definitely a player. He looks the stamp to make into a nice chaser, and you definitely give him a mega chance tomorrow afternoon. Red Devil Star is an interesting one. He ran well enough last time out when he finished third of six. That was behind Azdemir at Fontwell. So again, he could come into the race with a bit of a squeak there. And the other one that I thought was interesting, something that you won't have, I won't have, but Mick Norton definitely will have.
A smoking jacket.
Smoking jacket, correct, young fella. You can imagine Norton in Norton Towers on an evening, slippers on, smoking jacket, brandy in hand. Happy days. Well, a smoking jacket came good last time out. He beat the Coffee Hunter by 3.75 length from a yard that can do no wrong, from a jockey that settled in well to his new role as stable jockey to Tom George. I think the smoking jacket can continue on an upward curve.
Smoking Jacket then for Pimmy in the 250 at Wincanton. And the final race we'll look at is the 625 at Chelmsford City. A Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs on the poly track. We've got 13 of them set to go to post here, Pimmy. And quite a competitive looking race as well.
Yeah, very competitive. Good prize on offer. 12.5 grand to the winner. And again, it's Class 2. So some nice horses. Top weight Chuki Royale is a mark of 104. Again, he came good last time out, but he's got that penalty, which may make life that little bit harder, having won at Kempton last time out, beating Golden Amber by a length and a quarter. So he's interesting, that's for sure. I thought Basil Berry could be a player. Hector Crouch takes £3 off Basil. And he had a little bit of a tricky start last time out. Then he got an evil keel, didn't quite get into the race, finished fourth of eight, 3 lengths behind Lord of the Land. Prior to that, he was a readied winner. And again, if you can forgive him that slightly disappointing run last time out, then he has to be a player. And the other horse that I like, he's a Northern challenger making the long journey to Chelmsford, is He's No Saint, who I thought ran plenty well enough in defeat last time out. And that was at Chelmsford behind George William, and he was only a head behind him on that occasion. So he definitely could come into the equation tomorrow evening. So it's competitive, as you'd imagine. I think possibly the draw could be significant there tomorrow. I think you want to be looking at something drawn low to middle. I think if you're drawn high, out a little bit wide, you can get trapped out wide there. And again, I think a lot of the success lately has been coming from off the front of the pace. So again, you need possibly more than likely to jump and go. So I think Basil Berry coming out of box one is a positive, and He's No Saint, although in eight, sort of mid to three quarters down, he might have a chance of overcoming that.
Did you play them both against the field then?
Two against the field, yeah. Basil Berry and He's No Saint.
Superb, good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go. Just confirm your final selections for us then for Thursday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to Thursday. As you can imagine, always competitive stuff. And in that 1:45 at Wincanton, taking two against the field, both in the shape of the Paul Nicholls trained horses, Abidjan and Brilandas. If that's how you pronounce them. My French is not very good. Market racing.
That accent was superb.
Was it? I thought I had a touch of Indian in it, really.
Yeah, it wasn't French, but whatever it was superb.
Oh, right, lovely. Yeah, good. I mustn't give up my day job. 2:05 market racing, very competitive handicap hurdle with a first prize of just short of 16.5 grand. So good prize on offer there. Taking a chance with the Inform Big Chief Benny. And then down to Wincanton for their 250 race. It's a run over 2 miles, just short of 2 miles, and a novices limited handicap. And I'm going to go with Smoking Jacket for the Inform Yard of Tom George and Inform Jockey Adrian Heskin. And in the 8:25 at Chelmsford City, when all good people should well be in bed, I'm taking two against the field. Basil Berry drawn well in one, and He's No Saint coming out of box eight.
It's a 6:25 for me. Not the 8:25.
Oh.
You got to bed at 6:25.
Some days, yes. Some days, especially a Thursday if I've worked Wednesday.
Right, okay.
Because I'm up late.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my watch gone a bit wrong, wasn't it?
It's the clocks going forwards and backwards. We got confused.
I never was good with that 24-hour clock, you know what I mean?
All right.
But whatever time it's run at, Basil Berry, He's No Saint.
Superb. Thanks, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
And good luck for you trying to put that piece together.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it in.
Oh, happy days.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Luke Elder, Tom Morley and Andrew Mount will be the team in the studio. It's Market Racing, Wincanton and Newcastle in the afternoon, and evening action from Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.